Brothers and sisters, we lift up our hearts to the Lord. And let's confess together, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Shall we praise the Lord this afternoon by singing together Psalm 106, verse 23? This afternoon, in the preaching, we focus on the name of Jesus, Jesus the Son of God. And the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 4, "Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. He is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Let's, together with the church of all times and all places, profess our faith in the name of Jesus by singing together hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, shall we pray together and ask the Lord to bless our worship service? Lord God, Father in heaven, once again we come into your presence. And it is fitting, Father, that we come to you because you created us. And you created us with a purpose in mind, that we should know you and love you and live with you in eternal blessedness to praise and glorify you. And even after we fell into sin, even when we plunged ourselves into physical and spiritual death and made ourselves completely miserable, you did not leave us alone, but graciously, in your marvelous wisdom and goodness, you set out to seek us when we had trembling fled from you. Then you comforted us with the promise that you would give your son, born of woman, to crush the head of the serpent and to make us blessed. We thank you, Father in heaven, because you have kept all your promises. You did send your son into the world and to the cross to be our Savior. And you do work in us by the power of your Spirit so that today we love you and we desire to serve you. This is also the reason why you have brought us to church again this afternoon, Father in heaven, so that we might be reminded once again of the promises of the gospel, so that we might be encouraged to live our lives in faith. Father, we pray for the work of mission which we can support in Indonesia. We pray for our missionaries, our mission aid workers, and we also pray for their families. Watch over them and provide for their needs. Give wisdom and courage, and also protect them and keep them safe. Father, we pray for our mission committee here locally. Give them what they need. We also pray for the church communities on the mission fields. Give them what they need. Now bless us this afternoon as we focus our hearts once again on the name which you gave to your son when you sent him into the world, the name Jesus. Work in our hearts so that we may believe in Jesus, that we may receive him as our Lord and as our Savior, our complete Savior. And work by the power of your Spirit so that we may grow in our understanding of the gospel and in our love for you, so that we may become more and more assured of our salvation. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We now have an opportunity to serve the Lord with our thank offering. The collection this afternoon is for Children of Light. Afterwards, we sing together Psalm 147, verse 1. Psalm 147, verse 1, after the collection. let's take our Bibles and let's read together two passages of Scripture. First, from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers, Numbers 27. Numbers 27, we read from verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now we go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew. And we read from Matthew 1. Matthew 1 from verse 18 to verse 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So far, the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord bless it unto our hearts. The preaching of the gospel this afternoon is based on Lord's Day 11 of our catechism. Lord's Day 11. In which the church has summarized the word of God concerning Jesus. Lord's Day 11, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is Savior? Because he saves us from all our sins, and because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. Do those who seek their salvation or well-being in saints, in themselves or anywhere else, also believe in the only Savior Jesus? No, though they boast of him in words. They, in fact, deny the only Saviour, Jesus. For one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is not a complete Saviour, or those who by true faith accept this Saviour must find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. So far, our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and afterwards we sing together Psalm 80, verses 6, 7, and 8. Psalm 80, verses 6, 7, and 8. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, what's in a name? Maybe what's special about your name? Maybe your name is Michael, which means who is like God, or Sarah, which means princess, or maybe your mum chose your name after a character in a book or a movie. Or maybe you were given the same name as a grandparent or an aunt. Fact is, of course, when I know your name, I can go to a dictionary and I can find out what your name means. But these days, that does not prove anything, because many parents are not interested in what the dictionary says about a name. Instead, parents have their own reasons for choosing names for their children. And this is important this afternoon when we consider the name Jesus. Obviously, God gave his son the name Jesus because Jesus means Saviour. But there is more that must be said, because the name Jesus sounds very much like Joshua. And many commentaries say God named his son Jesus after Joshua. But is that really what happened? Did God page through the dictionary or even through the Old Testament and say, hey, Joshua saved the Israelites by bringing them into Canaan, and now my son is going to bring his people to the heavenly Canaan, so let me give him the same name? Of course, that's not what happened. Instead, the whole Bible is about Jesus. The purpose of every chapter in the Bible is to focus our hearts and our lives on Jesus, our Saviour. And so, a person in the Bible or a name in the Bible becomes meaningful. It becomes meaningful when it focuses our attention on Jesus. Ultimately, people in the Bible become important and they become meaningful when they are signposts, living signposts who point to Jesus. And this also means today, beloved congregation, if we want to make something of our lives, if we want our lives to be meaningful, if we want to have lasting importance, then we should arrange our lives in such a way that our lives too, are signposts that point to Jesus. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of Jesus under the following theme: God gave his son the name Jesus because Jesus means Saviour. And we pay attention to 3 points. Jesus is our only Saviour. Jesus saves us from our sins. And Jesus saves us by his name. God gave his son the name Jesus because Jesus means Saviour. First, we see that Jesus is our only Saviour. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, was our confession last week in Lord's Day 10. And the week before in Lord's Day 9. And that story of God the Father in our creation, that story we find in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, right in the beginning of the Bible. And today, dealing with the name Jesus, we move on to the birth of Jesus Christ, recorded for us in Matthew 1. And you see, the Catechism, following the Apostles' Creed, the Catechism says nothing about Noah or Abraham or Moses or David or anyone else in the Old Testament. Instead, our Catechism moves right on from God the Father and our creation in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, it jumps forward all the way to Matthew 1. It seems as if the Apostles' Creed and the Catechism as well has got nothing at all to say about the whole Old Testament. But what seems to be true is only an optical illusion. Because what do we find in the Old Testament? What do we see in the stories of Abraham, Moses, David, and Elijah? The Old Testament is his story. That is his story. The story of God doing what God does. God leading his people and saving his people. The Old Testament is the story of God the Father leading his people from the Garden of Eden to Bethlehem and to Golgotha. In fact, that story does not stop at the cross. Instead, from Good Friday, it continues to Easter Sunday and Pentecost and even into the future, to the day of Christ's return. The story of the Bible is the story of God the Father who created the world, fixing what we broke and leading us to eternal life. Yes, indeed. The story of God the Father in our creation did not stop in Genesis 2 when God said for the last time that it was very good. The story of God the Father continues through the Bible, just like the story of God the Son and our redemption did not appear out of nowhere in Matthew 1. Instead, the story of Jesus began when? When Adam and Eve fell into sin, when God saw them and God came down from heaven to comfort them. And then, in the time of Moses, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses could not bring the Israelites into Canaan. Moses could not do that. Instead, Joshua had to do that. Indeed, Joshua had to do that because the name Joshua is the name Jesus in Hebrew, that's Jeshu, with an ah at the end. Jeshu means Savior, just like Jesus. And Joshua, Jesus with an ah at the end, means Yahweh, the Lord is our Savior. So, the name of Joshua points to the fact that Joshua, the Lord saves. It points to the fact that Joshua could not save the Israelites and bring them into Canaan. Instead, because his name was Joshua, the Lord is our Savior, Joshua could drive the Canaanites out of the land. Joshua could give Canaan to the people of Israel. Joshua, the Lord is our Savior. That name points away from the man Joshua. It points upwards to the Lord who saves. The name Joshua, it means this is not this man who saves the Israelites. Instead, it is the Lord who saves his people through this man. This gospel is taught and confirmed by the name Joshua. And actually, there is also another man in the Old Testament who has the name Joshua. In Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua was a high priest. So it was his job to make sacrifices in the temple for the sins of the people. And that Joshua also had to learn the true meaning of his name. That Joshua also had to learn that he could never really be Israel's savior. He could never really take away the sins of the people by all those sacrifices which he offered on the altar. Again, the name Joshua said it all. Joshua cannot save. Instead, only the Lord can save his people from their sins. So again, the name Joshua takes our attention away from the person. It focuses our attention on God, who really saves. The name Joshua is a signpost that points away from the man who has the name, points to the Lord who saves instead. And for this reason, beloved congregation, when the Son of God came into the world, he was not given the name Joshua. His name could never mean the Lord saves. He could not have a name that would draw attention away from himself and focus attention on someone else. Instead, the name of God, the Son of God, was called Jesus. That means Savior. The name Jesus, that means the buck stops with me. I say, I will go to the cross and I will pay for the sins of my people. When Joshua brought the people into Canaan, his name said, the Lord is our Savior. That means don't expect anything from me. I cannot help you. I cannot do anything for you. Don't look at me, but look to God. And when Joshua the second was serving as the high priest in the temple, his name said, the Lord is our Savior. That means I cannot pay for your sins, and my sacrifices cannot really help you. Instead, look to the Lord. Trust him. But the Lord could not keep on sending Joshuas. The Lord could not keep on sending men whose name points further to another person who would be the real deal. Instead, one day, there would have to be a real Jesus. Because Jesus means, don't look anywhere else. Because I am the Savior of the world. What you need, I will do. What you need, I will give. What you need, I am. Joshua was only a signpost. Just like Abraham and Moses and David were only signposts. They were nothing in and of themselves, but they pointed away from themselves to Jesus. And this is something practical that we need to learn, brothers and sisters. When we read our Bibles, we are always looking for something for us to do. We are always looking for something for us to work on throughout the day. We are often thinking about ourselves. With the best of intentions, we're often thinking about how we can live better lives as Christians. That's very noble. But it's also very risky business. Because the focus of the Bible is not on us. The focus of the Bible is not on our behavior or on our lives. No, the focal point is Jesus Christ. And what God gives us to do is more difficult than change our behavior, more difficult than change our lifestyle. What God gives us to do is this: stop thinking so much about ourselves. Stop thinking so much about what we need to do and what we need to change. What God gives us to do is look outside of ourselves. Focus our faith on Jesus. He is everything we need to know. He is everything we need to love. In Him, we learn everything we need to do. The Bible is not, in the first place, a manual that shows us how we ought to live our lives. Instead, the Bible is God's story, history, the story of Jesus. The Bible shows us God's story of how God loved us and sent His Son into the world to save us from all our sins and to give us eternal life. Knowing this and understanding this correctly, believing this wholeheartedly, this should be the focus of our Bible reading, because then Jesus Christ and His salvation can become the focus of our lives. Jesus is our only Savior. To know Him is more important than anything that we can think or say or do. To know Jesus as our Savior, that is our first point. In our second point, we will now consider God's promise that Jesus saves us from our sins. Jesus was and is unique. When He was born, He was the only baby in all of history to be a human being and to be God at the same time, which also makes Mary unique. Mary was the only woman in all of history who gave birth to a son who was also God. And when Jesus was a baby, also when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy going to the temple with His parents, also when Jesus was a grown man, there was no one like Him. There was no one who could understand Him properly. Jesus was a human being like no other, because He was at the same time true God. In the 30 years or so that Jesus lived on earth, though, in many ways, Jesus seemed like just a normal person. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. His dad was a carpenter. He was known as the brother of James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, one of that crowd. He lived in Nazareth. And they kept on saying, "How can anything good come from Nazareth?" Jesus, because He was a humble person, Jesus was never offended. Jesus never said, "I demand that you treat me with a little bit more respect because of who I am." Instead, Jesus was so plain and so common that even His plainness and His commonness made Him special. Made Him special because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they looked down on the common people. They were snobs. They separated themselves from the crowds. But Jesus did the opposite. He was normal. He went out of His way to find sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. Jesus never arranged for a public reception at the governor's mansion. Instead, Jesus came to Levi, a despised tax collector, and Jesus told him, "I must come to your house." So normal. And on the evening when Jesus was betrayed, the disciples were arguing about which of them was the greatest. But Jesus went down on His knees to wash their feet, because that's the kind of person that Jesus was. And from this low point, beloved congregation, it went downhill, because Jesus was arrested, condemned to death, and nailed to the cross. And then Jesus died, and His disciples disappeared. Soon afterwards, some of those disciples had gone back to their fishing boats. Not long after that, James was killed. Stephen was martyred. Peter and John were thrown into prison. Saul did what he could to destroy the church. And Christians in Rome were thrown to the lions. Jesus means Saviour. We cannot see it. Instead, we can only see that Jesus turned a nation upside down. And Jesus tore families apart. And who knows? Who knows how many disciples of Jesus in the last 2,000 years have been hung on the gallows or burned on the pyre or murdered in other barbaric ways? Jesus means Saviour. We have to believe, but we cannot see that Jesus saves. And to understand this better, beloved congregation, we go back to some words which the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1. The angel said to Jesus, "The name of your son will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." He will save his people from their sins, not from hardship or poverty, not from loneliness or depression, but from our sins. Jesus saves us only from our sins. And when I say this, that Jesus saves us only from our sins, when I say this, you might respond in two ways. You might say, my struggle in my life, the issue that gives me grief, that has got nothing to do with my sins. You might say, my struggle, it was not my fault. Instead, it was somebody else. Or maybe it was God who gave me this burden to carry, but it's got nothing to do with my sins. By this reasoning, beloved congregation, we might try to separate our pain and our misery from our sins and our guilt. And it sounds reasonable. But if this is our attitude, then we can go to Jesus and we can ask Jesus to save us from our sins. But then we are still stuck with all the other issues in our lives. Because Jesus came into the world to save us only from our sins. On the other hand, if we believe that Jesus saves us from our sins, and if in our minds we are prepared to connect all our misery to our sins, if we are prepared to connect all the struggles in our life to our brokenness on account of our sins, then we have this wonderful promise. When Jesus saves us from our sins, then he also saves us from all the horrible consequences of our sins. And Jesus saves us from all the pain and all the misery which are so much connected with who we are, rotten sinners. Jesus saves us from our sins. And so whatever we connect to our sins, brothers and sisters, whatever we connect to our sinfulness and to our brokenness, we can expect Jesus to take all that away from us. And so, when we pray for health, when we pray for strength to go on, when we pray for the Lord to help us through difficult times financially or in our families, then, regardless of what we pray for, at the end of our prayer, we always say, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. That means everything that I mention in my prayer, And all my needs are connected to my sins and to my brokenness, which I experience as a sinful child of Adam. All my needs, which I have brought before God in my prayer, Jesus will fulfill all those needs, because Jesus has dealt with my problem, which is my sin. And this means, very simply, whatever misery there is in our lives, whatever misery we connect to our sinfulness and to our brokenness, we can ask God to deliver us from all that for Jesus' sake. But whatever misery we do not connect to our sins and our brokenness, we have no reason to believe that Jesus will save us from that. And please understand, beloved congregation, please understand, not everything that goes wrong in our lives is our own fault. Please understand, of course, not all of our misery is the direct consequence of our own sins. Not at all, brothers and sisters. But the question is not what causes all our misery. The question is not, why has God done this or that to me? Instead, the question is, what do we deserve on account of our sins? And the answer to that question is the same for every one of us. You and I, we deserve every form of misery, even condemnation. All the hardship that we face in our lives, we deserve it all. But the gospel, because Jesus Christ has taken our sins upon himself, because Jesus Christ has taken our punishment, therefore, the struggles of our life are no longer a foretaste of hell. Instead, the struggles of our life are a constant reminder and a terrible reminder of the misery that we would have to endure eternally if Jesus had not saved us. That is our second point. In our third point, we will now see that Jesus saves us by his name. When Jesus was on earth, he did many wonderful things. He fed the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. He even gave life to those who were dead, because he is God. We understand and we believe that God does these wonderful things. But then the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And afterwards he went to heaven. And so in Acts chapter 3, Jesus was in heaven. In Acts chapter 3, when Jesus was gone back to heaven, the apostle Peter, he was not Jesus. And Peter, he was not God. No, Peter was just an ordinary man. But Peter was able to do what Jesus used to do. Peter takes a blind man by the hand. Peter takes this blind man who is lame, and Peter commands him to walk, and he walks. Sorry, he wasn't blind, he was lame. Peter takes this lame man by the hand, and Peter commands him to walk. And he was lame, but he walks. If Jesus would have been there instead of Peter, if Jesus would have done that miracle instead of Peter, it would have been exactly the same. And do you understand what this means? It means that Jesus went back to heaven, but he left his name on the earth. He left his name on the earth for you and for me to use. And Peter, he could take that name Jesus. Peter could use the name of Jesus to heal people who were sick. Paul also used the name of Jesus to drive out demons. And now, today, you and I, we can use the name of Jesus whenever we need anything from God. When we pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread, we pray in Jesus' name. And God hears our prayer. We ask God to forgive our sins. And we pray in Jesus' name, and God hears our prayers. God gives us what we ask for because we use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, which is a most powerful weapon. And this is our comfort, our only comfort in life and death. Because when we suffer or when we hurt, when we are disappointed, or maybe when we are with people who are disappointed, we cannot change their lives. We cannot change their circumstances. We cannot make them healthy or rich. But brothers and sisters, we've got this amazing power. If we speak about Jesus, just speaking about Jesus, just using the name of Jesus can have a most powerful, a most wonderful effect. Because the name Jesus contains a most wonderful promise. The name Jesus gives us a wonderful hope for a wonderful future. Because when we hear the name Jesus, then the Spirit of Jesus, he works in our hearts. He gives us hope. He gives us energy. He gives us wisdom. He gives us life. Hearing the name of Jesus and believing the name of Jesus is powerful to save us from hell, powerful to bring us to heaven. Just hearing the name of Jesus is the most powerful name under heaven. The name of Jesus is the powerful instrument that we can use to encourage, to comfort, and to admonish. The name of Jesus changes hearts and changes lives. So let us read our Bibles. Let's come to know Jesus. Let's open our mouth. Let's talk lots about Jesus. Let's sing lots about Jesus. And let us trust that by faith in the name of Jesus, we have eternal life. Amen. I have one announcement from Consistory. Following the election this morning, Consistory has appointed the following brothers to the office of Elder: Brother F. Ballast, A. Bile, and G. Yongling, and Brother M. Hodike to the office of Deacon. If no lawful objections are brought forward, ordination will take place, God willing, on the 24th of November in the morning service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for giving him the name Jesus, Savior. We thank you for showing us through your word that Jesus is strong to save and willing to save. We thank you for saving us by the blood and the Spirit of Jesus. And we pray, hold on to us until the day when Jesus returns, until the day when Jesus gives us the full salvation that you have promised. Father in heaven, we live in a world that is broken. In our lives, in our families, in our church, and also in our community, so much is broken. And Lord, we look for ways to fix. We thank you for power that you give to us as creatures. Medical possibilities, technological possibilities. Lord, we are able to do so much with all our wealth and all our resources. We are able to achieve so much. But still, life remains broken. Still, there are so many things that we cannot fix. And so we pray, cause us to believe that when Jesus takes away our sins, then we also have the promise that one day everything will be made perfect. We pray that in the struggles of life, we may hold on to this hope. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let's sing together in conclusion hymn 68, verses 1, 2, and 8. receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.